Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, y'all. Ryan Sprague here. As you all know, the Somewhere in the Skies podcast is always free to consume, but it isn't free to create. That's why I've started the Somewhere in the Skies Patreon campaign. On a monthly basis, you give what you think the show is worth. You'll be helping the show continue, grow, and to be something truly communal. And remember, there are rewards for each level of contribution, and the list is only growing. So please, help Somewhere in the Skies now by becoming a patron. To contribute and to learn more, visit www.patreon.com/somewhereskies. Thank you for your support. And now, on with the show.
This is Somewhere in the Skies with Ryan Sprague.
Welcome to Somewhere in the Skies. I'm your host, Ryan Sprague. This week, I'm coming to you from my hotel room in Washington, D.C. Why I'm here? I can't quite give away just yet. And yes, I am pulling a Tom DeLonge. To the Stars Academy, critics and fans will get that reference. But I did want to let you know that this week, I'm sharing with you a very special discussion I had while I was living in Los Angeles this past year. I had the amazing opportunity to be part of a panel discussion at the Upright Citizens Brigade as part of the Houndtall Discussion Series, hosted by well-known comedian Moshe Kasher. Joining us that night was Irish comedian Aisling B., Oscar-nominated writer Emily Gordon, and Oscar-nominated writer and featured actor on The X-Files and The Twilight Zone, Mr. Kumail Nanjiani. With that lineup, I was a little intimidated, but I also prepared for both a little ragging on and definitely for some well-needed laughs. But I made sure to always bring the topic back to a level of sincerity and seriousness, as it well deserves. But just be warned, this is a comedy discussion. Sensitive ufologists out there may get a little offended, and for that, all I can say is, I'm not sorry. If you can't have a little sense of humor with all this, please find another passion and hobby. This was an amazing opportunity where I got to run these comedians and a live audience through over 70 years of UFO history, leading up to the announcement of the secret Pentagon UFO program. Another warning, this was recorded almost a year ago, so many revelations about the ATIP program and To the Stars Academy have been made since then, so just keep that in mind when you hear us discussing it. But other than that, I hope you can sit back, enjoy some levity in our discussion on UFOs, and as always, keep your feet on the ground as I, Moshe Kasher, Aisling B., Emily Gordon, and Kumail Nanjiani keep searching for answers somewhere in the skies. Enjoy!
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the UCB Franklin Theater for another episode of the Houndtall Discussion Series. Say hi, everybody!
Hi!
Tonight we're talking about UFOs. Do they exist? Well, our guest expert definitely says that they do, and we'll find out for ourselves right now. Put your hands together for him. He is the author of Somewhere in the Skies, Ryan Sprague, ladies and gentlemen. Put your hands together for him. Here he comes. And our guest comedic panelists, Aisling B., Emily Gordon, and Kumail Nanjiani. There they are. There they go. How exciting. Oh, wait, Ryan, no, come sit next to me. Kumail, you go away. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying to get Kumail back down to earth since his Academy Award nomination.
What about Emily?
I also was nominated for an Academy Award.
You were also nominated for an Academy Award, but you do not have the problems with ego that Kumail does.
That is true.
and I therefore do not need to bring you down to earth.
It's really not a big deal. It's just an Academy Award fucking nomination. I wish you'd stop bringing it up all the time.
Well, you know what? Actually, I thought this would be a cool opportunity because it's probably the last podcast you'll both do before the awards, right? And I just thought, why don't you go ahead and just do your speech for, just for us right now?
Because we'll never get to do it.
No, no. No, you're going to win an Oscar.
This is the last podcast we're doing, period.
Yeah. You asked me to do it. I was like, and you were like, Camille already said yes. And I was like, Camille, you're doing podcasts again?
Again.
She needs the help. I'm grounded.
Oh, I like the idea that you're doing them again. I just love the idea of like Camille coming home all Death of a Salesman style, putting his briefcase down. God damn it, Emily, that's the last podcast.
People are like, we need you as a guest. Oh, I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah, classic Death of a Salesman reference, Camille.
I was doing a different reference. I don't know what you're talking about.
Who are you up against? Who are these other pricks?
We don't want to talk about it.
Some nobody. No, some real nobody. Movie. Some piece
of shit. She meant who are you up against tonight on this podcast. And it's Aisling B, ladies and gentlemen. There she is. That's her dulcet Irish tones. Aisling, are you a believer in UFOs?
Big time. just only between like 9 p.m. at night and 3 o'clock in the morning. So like ghosts, vampires, aliens, crystals.
You start to believe in crystals finally?
I think everyone, yeah.
We all believe in crystals.
I mean, gems of all kinds.
Beware, children.
She's showing a necklace, ladies and gentlemen.
She believes in necklaces.
Yeah, I believe in necklaces.
Emily, you and Camille are big X-Files people. Are you guys also, are you believers?
She's not.
Are you not? No?
No, I'm a absolute believer, and it's the only thing I'm frightened of.
Oh, why are you afraid of them?
Because I don't get them. Mm. And I watched a lot of Unsolved Mysteries as a kid, and the whole idea is that you don't know, they could be taking you over on a nightly basis, and you just don't know. So I was like, how do I prove that I haven't been taken in the night? And then they wipe my brain. And then that tied me into knots for like the ages of 9 to like 12 or 13.
It was a nosebleed. If anyone in school got a nosebleed, like, you've been taken by aliens. There's no other way of knowing. Like,
and I had a lot of
nosebleeds. What a quaint country Ireland is.
No, we murdered a lot of children and we were embarrassed by it. Looking back, we thought X-Files was a documentary and nobody told us and we're embarrassed, but we moved on.
Kumail, what about you? You a believer?
I think so, yeah. Of all the like, I don't believe in ghosts or vampires or Bigfoot or UFOs is the only one of that whole group that I think that there's a very real possibility.
Ryan, do you resent the idea? Like, everybody's been framing this already from, I don't believe in ghosts, specters, poltergeists, but I kind of do believe in. Does it stick in your craw that it's even categorized with those things?
It's tough because the way I look at it, the UFO or alien phenomenon could impact the world in many different ways, whereas I don't think many people feel threatened by a ghost.
What are you
That's
talking about?
That's the primary characteristic. Of ghosts. They are very threatening.
They say boo and you shit yourself.
They have unfinished business.
They came up with a 3-letter word for I am threatening you.
Yeah.
But I take your point though, Ryan. You're saying essentially that because of how potentially real this is, it feels like it more could fall under the category of possible science rather than supernatural.
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you think about an alien civilization from somewhere else.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
Still not scared of ghosts?
Oh. Huh? Ladies and gentlemen.
Science speaks for itself, man.
Listeners at home, I don't know what to tell you except that from this, as he said, ghosts aren't scary. Ectoplasm fell from the sky.
I am now a believer.
A ghost sneezed on us.
But it's boo. Thank you for laughing. It did not deserve it. It didn't deserve it.
Yeah. I thought it deserved a bigger laugh.
Thanks. I don't think it did.
I'm not joking. I think it did.
Ryan, before we get into the science and the possible changing of the world that UFOs could bring about, I read your book, or I read a good portion of it, and it starts off with your, well, it's difficult to get
what
through everything.
Here?
No, it's no, not the book is very good, easy to get through. It's a page turner. I'm busy. Anyway.
Yeah, sure.
Ryan, you start the book off with your own personal experience of a UFO sighting, and I wondered if you could take us through what happened. Just tell the story.
Yeah. Fuck yes!
That wasn't even Kumail. That was the specter that has appeared.
I was 12 years old. I was 1996.
I had a bloody nose.
Yeah, I had a bloody nose. And I was fishing off a dock. I was away with my parents at camp. And,
what part of the world were you in?
This was in upstate New York.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Right on the near the Canadian border, actually.
Upstate New York.
And I was fishing, and I looked up, and I saw three white lights in a triangular formation, and completely silent. I didn't see, like, a structured craft, if you will, but I could not see, like, the stars or anything behind it, and it was coming down.
Is this at nighttime?
Nighttime, yeah. It was coming down
fishing
over the water.
Fishing at night, you say? The story's starting to fall apart. No, okay, so it's nighttime. All of a sudden you look up. There are three lights, to quote Captain Picard, and that's a deep cut. And you can't see past the lights.
Correct, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, completely silent. All I could hear was, like, the water hitting the dock where I was fishing. And
wait, you were still fishing at this point? That's a committed fisherman right there.
Absolutely, man. Like,
it's aliens, but these bass aren't going to catch themselves.
It was perch.
Okay, sure, sorry.
That's not.
You fucking idiot.
It's upstate
New York. New York, dude.
Yeah, they don't have casts in upstate New York.
Yikes.
Maybe you should have finished the book.
That's the last chapter.
That was like page two.
Chapter 42, it was perch.
Mystery solved.
Okay, so what happened? Are you scared? Are you? You're 12 years old. You're terrified.
I was fucking terrified, man. Yeah, I screamed for my dad to come out. He was inside our camp.
Wow, that's kind of weak. Kind of weak of you, by the way. Right?
He's 12 years old.
Right, 12. Yeah. So you screamed for your dad. Did he come?
He came out. He saw the tail end of this thing as it floated silently over the water towards Canada.
Whoa.
And, you know,
smart aliens, huh? Yeah. We're going that away.
Yeah. They're like, in 20 years, some shit's going to go down here. We don't want to be here for it.
To Trudeau and beyond.
Question, what your dad saw, did he see enough of it to be like, that was crazy? Or is he like, I don't know what I saw.
I saw something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, again, he saw, like, the tail end of it. So, to him, he thought it was a plane. It could have been. Could have been anything.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it directly over me. It was huge, whatever the hell this thing was. And it just floated silently. And that's the thing that really got to me. Was
like a Prius. Like an Uber coming to pick you
but
up.
This is
like, where the fuck did you come from?
But this is 96. They did not have Prius technology.
We are pre-Prius at this point. Yeah.
So it couldn't have been a Prius.
Were you a kid at that point who was prone to believe in UFOs? Were you, like, sort of the kind of kid who was, like, looking for UFOs and that kind of stuff?
No, not at
did you
all.
Watch
that's
Unsolved
the right
Mysteries?
Answer, Ryan, by the way. That's the one I wanted from
did you.
Yeah, I was really leading you.
Did you watch Unsolved Mysteries growing up?
I did see it on occasion. The music scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, the music was terrifying.
I think most people.
That one episode with the arsonist and the guy watching, if anybody...
Forget about it.
That's a scary... Also, did you... we were talking backstage, the Time Life books.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had those.
Yeah, did you have those before or after this incident?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think of when those came out.
Were those books?
This is like up white privilege 101 right here.
Now, I know you had the books for sure. Now, did you get the books before or after your UFO experience? No child did not have those books.
No. Yeah, they come with your white card.
They do come with your white card.
Do you remember those commercials, Emily?
Yes,
it
100%.
The stories would be so incendiary. It'd be like, and then aliens came down, grabbed the man. What happened next? Read the book.
You'll have to find out.
Yeah.
And I stole them from the library, but they had gorgeous art.
You got your street cred back.
Yeah, got that street cred back. They had gorgeous artwork, so sometimes I would just steal pages out of them after reading them.
What a monstrous thing to do.
Yeah.
To prevent others from solving the crimes.
Yeah, that's right. I won't.
That's why the mystery stayed unsolved.
Yeah, it's me tearing them out of the timeline.
All the clues
book.
Were
yeah.
on your...
You're like a young hip Jessica Fletcher, going, they'll never work out, it was me the whole time.
That's exactly right. That's how I refer to myself.
So far, we've referred to Death of a Salesman, Unsolved Mysteries, Lethal Weapon, Murder, She Wrote. I think we're doing a really good job.
You're old
tonight.
As hell.
Millennials, yeah, right. Get yourself a piece of toast.
So, Ryan,
Kumail, you had a question? Go ahead.
No, keep going. Well, I just want to know more about...
Yeah, tell us more. What was happening to you physiologically at the time that you saw this? Because it was more... I don't want... did your dick get hard or what was going on?
Bro, look at me, bro. Did your dick get hard?
Yeah, tell me about that 12-year-old dick.
Old.
Yeah, so it was always hard. That's what he was fishing with.
This
line
whole,
at the end?
Yeah.
A line. That wasn't no line. But you do describe your physiological reaction to seeing these lights. So, because I don't want to paint a picture that, like, in the book, it really struck me how intense of an experience this was for you. It was more than just seeing three lights in the sky. You felt a vibration in the air. Tell us more about what it felt like physically.
Yeah, I could, like, and maybe it was adrenaline, something like that. I was definitely scared. I felt threatened. I felt this vibration throughout my whole body. My hair was sticking up. And it just...
Your hair was sticking up.
My hair was sticking up.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
How did you know your hair was sticking up? But you're like, better get my fishing mirror. It's sticking up. Okay. Or do you just... Could you feel the spikiness of your...
Like on my...
Oh, your hair and your arms.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Your head. Yeah. I was...
Goosebumps. Okay. Bumps.
Did you, which is also a great series of books from our era. In case somebody wanted to reference another thing from... Now, did you have the, like, alt-right Hitler haircut at the time?
No, I invented this haircut.
No,
you did. It's a good-looking haircut.
Macklemore did.
No, Hitler did. But after that, it was me. No, I used to have that haircut. No, but I just do like the image of you. It's very funny to think of Hitler's hair standing on end. Anyway, whatever. The little mustache goes up. Whatever. Okay. So Ryan, what else? And then as it disappeared into the skyline, what are you thinking? Do you think I just saw an alien craft? Or what do you think? What's your process?
Yeah, I mean, at that time, I was only 12, but sort of my limited knowledge of aviation, I knew that what I was looking at was not like a plane I'd ever seen before. I knew that. Whatever it was silent. There was no, like, propulsion to it. And I was just confused. I had no clue what I was looking at. And for my father to say, like, it was a plane to try to calm me down, like, that helped in the moment. But I became so curious after that I wanted to keep, you know, pursuing whatever.
So did you, like, tell your friends about it? Did you, like, think about it for weeks and weeks? Like, and how did the people around you take it?
I didn't tell anyone for years and years.
Wow, okay.
Actually. Yeah, I would go to the library and take out book after
book. And there were pages were missing.
Emily!
Sorry, guys.
I'm white trash.
White card revoked, yeah. I became obsessed after that. I mean, stacks of books I would take home on, like, UFOs, Loch Ness Monster, like, all this crazy shit, because sort of this door was open for me that... Whatever was happening out there, whatever we were being told was happening, wasn't the whole story.
And I'll just say that when you sent me a bunch of material to look at, and when I got the material, I would say that I was probably a pretty heavy skeptic. I believe in alien life because it just seems pretty obvious that at some point there's going to be alien life out there. But in terms of UFOs visiting Earth, wherever they may or may not have come from, I would say I was a skeptic. By the end of looking through the material you sent me, I don't think it's really up for debate that there has been something has come to this planet. Maybe it came from this planet, maybe it came from somewhere else. But let's go back in history and just get to our modern understanding of it, like the military and the government's involvement in a cover-up of whatever the craft that has been seen may be. It started when? I mean, what are some of the early sightings that we refer to? You were telling me about one that happened even before Roswell, right? That happened here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, it one of the first, I guess, recorded ones in modern UFO history, we call it.
Ashling's doing silent physical comedy on a podcast right now. Just so you know.
That's my brand. Yeah. That's why I'm invited on so many podcasts.
She's doing the reenactment.
My mime skills.
She is doing the reenactment.
That would be a great podcast.
I'm going to need that. Yeah.
The mime cast.
I'll be you seeing the alien.
Very cool. Put your hand up like this, though. Okay, Ryan. Yes. Yeah, so before Roswell, you were telling me there was actually a documented UFO visit here in Los Angeles,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
In 1941, it was called the Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, I know this.
Yeah, Battle of LA.
Not the movie with Rihanna.
Oh, fuck! I don't know about it.
So
like, that movie's from 1941. It looks good.
Rihanna. That's right.
Rihanna is ancient.
Black show crack.
Yeah. So it this huge cylindrical object, bright as all hell, was seen over Los Angeles. The army actually got really, like, scared about this, and they started firing on it.
They mobilized and sent planes into the sky.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is a documented thing that happened.
This is documented. This is, you know, in every, yeah.
Did they bring it down?
So they shot at it, and whatever was up there, it just disappeared out of sight.
Shit.
Shell casings actually fell back down and killed people. So this was actually like a pretty deadly event.
Are you sure that the army didn't just shoot a bunch of people and then make up this story to cover?
Oh, there was a UFO we were shooting at.
It fell back down.
Oh, my God. These protesters were just standing under the UFO.
So a spacecraft came down piloted by George Soros himself. So
that's legit scary, though.
That is very scary, and one of the ongoing themes of these different stories is that idea that the craft not only are larger than any craft you could ever imagine, that they also move at a pace that is unimaginable, that doesn't match any technology.
And certainly they change direction too, right?
Right.
That's another.
Certainly they're all not weather balloons.
Right? Yeah, it's like certainly not technology that we have now, but definitely not that we had in 1941 or 47, which is when Roswell happens. What happened in Roswell? I honestly don't know the story of Roswell, so tell us that.
This was early July of 1947. Something crashed in the desert in Roswell, New Mexico. A rancher found a bunch of wreckage on his ranch. He reported it to the local airfield, and they came out to investigate. Immediately, they started gathering everything up, putting it, you know, on their trucks and sending it back to their base. And they were told the rancher never to talk about what had happened there. The next day, the newspaper said that they had found a flying disc. And the day after that, the story was retracted, and they said that they'd found a weather balloon. I mean, that's what most people know about Roswell. It was just a weather balloon. But there's been, countless witnesses in the military who've come forward and said that was a cover story. Like, we don't know exactly what it was, but it definitely was not a weather balloon.
So what I'd heard about Roswell was, like, people saw the grays, like the little guys with the big eyes that give me all
apparently,
of the nightmares. Yeah. So is that a cockamamie part of the theory, or is it we just don't know what they saw? We don't know what people saw.
Wait, what's the grays thing at Roswell?
Well, the grays are just – that's what the aliens that have the big
eyes. I know, but I didn't know that people saw those aliens at Roswell.
Yeah. There are many witnesses who claim to have seen bodies. So what those bodies were, we don't know.
They might have been dead human bodies.
It could have been a test, you know, by the government, some sort of flight test. This was the very early days of aerospace, of, you know, trying to get as far up as we could. It could have been some sort of test pilots. The whole body thing has always been up for debate.
Before this, because you know the way when you see aliens in all movies, we don't seem to be able to really stretch away from an alien look. Like even, what's that Amy Adams movie?
Arrival.
Arrival. Yeah. They look still a bit like the blah, 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 blah. Like it's always like, octopuses. We can't imagine anything weirder than an octopus. Octopuses are absolutely mad. Eight legs, no one can understand them. I'll eat them, but I don't understand them.
To be fair, octopuses look fucking fucked
they
up.
They look mad. And
they're
sometimes
insane
I'm like,
looking.
Guys, are we all just, can we just not all get our heads around octopuses? Is that what aliens are? But you know, say after the film The Truman Show, there's, after the film The Truman Show, in the sort of book of mental health, there is now a sort of disease where people think, and I think it the whole time, like, oh, I'm in a movie. They've cast those extras really bad because I saw him running around 2 years ago and they've just reused the budget for the extras. Like, it's made us think.
It's a form of dementia. Yeah.
Yeah. That
people are replaced by doubles and that, yeah.
Well, exactly. And so you start looking for the filmic or the connections in your life. I wonder, say with aliens, how much, and you could maybe answer this, how much Hollywood has to answer for what we see matching or when we think we see something matching what's so delivered to us as this octopus looking thing.
But I think the octopus looking thing is not the standard
the
image
to
of
me
the alien. It's more humanoid.
It's those big eyes that even E.T. fits into Arrival. Right, it's not the craziest thing.
But your point is well made. Like, the question is always begged when we talk about UFOs is, did we begin to believe in UFOs because the science fiction movie showed them to us, or did science fiction fiction movies take from the human consciousness
what was
reported. Exactly like the chicken and the egg.
Chicken and the egg. Another unfinished question. We'll get to that later.
So what do you think? I mean, you're a believer, so it's a difficult question to pose to you. And by the way, I want to point out that Ryan's specialty is not necessarily alien visitation. It is UFO. It's spacecraft, people that have seen spacecraft, right? Well, we're going to get more into the beings, but even the spacecraft, the imagery when we see the spacecraft, we used to see flying saucers, and now it's maybe modernized a bit.
Like triangles.
To what degree do you think we have been in? By the way, you would admit that most UFO sightings are total bullshit, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, 95%.
Oh, yeah, but yours was real.
That's what everyone thinks.
95% of them are prosaic explanations. They're conventional aircraft. They're misidentifications. They're birds. I don't know. But there is always that, like, 5%.
They're flying octopuses.
Flying octopuses.
Oh, those guys.
And that we can't explain.
Right.
We simply can't explain. And that goes for the government. That goes for science. You know, we've had astronomers look into this, which I'm sure we'll get into.
Did you read that news story that came out a couple months ago about the guy who worked in the Pentagon?
Oh, we're getting there, Kumail.
Hold your horses.
But before we do get to the Pentagon, because I think that is part of what was so striking to me in looking through this stuff, is like the government has been involved in some sort of cover-up. I don't know if it's for alien spacecraft or if it's just because they're covering up
their own
technology. Mm-hmm. But the government's been involved since 1947, right? And Roswell was the...
By the way, that is the year that Pakistan became a country. Anyway, keep going. Yeah. I'm just trying to teach you something.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Are the two things connected? Come on.
You're back.
I don't know. I was fucking spaceship crashes in New Mexico, and a month later, we have a new country. You tell me.
I mean, that is another question that comes up, actually, is how much of the concentration of UFO sightings is based in the United States, or how international a phenomenon is it?
It is definitely a worldly phenomenon. We often see it through Western eyes, however. All the big cases you think of, Roswell, Rendlesham, which was in England but was on an American military base, which – I can get into later as well. But most of the cases have happened here.
And so the ones that are reported in other countries, are they similar images?
Very strikingly similar. There's many patterns to be made in terms of what they saw. The thing I've noticed, though, is that other countries, they take this topic very seriously, where here in the United States, it's very ridiculed at times.
Is it because we've made so many movies about it, maybe?
Possibly. There's a lot of, like, the chicken and the egg thing is which came first, the bug-eyed aliens in the movies or the...
The bug-eyed aliens fucking me up the ass with their instruments.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Kumail, you grew up in Pakistan. Tell us about that. No,
How much of the movie is true?
Spotlight ready.
No, but what was the cultural consciousness as a kid in Pakistan? Like, do they talk about what's the understanding of UFOs in Pakistan? Did they?
Oh, I mean, I remember everybody talking about it. I was obsessed with UFOs since I was a little kid. I had all the books and stuff.
Time Life?
Not Time Life, but other ones. But I was really – I remember looking at a picture of, like, the checkerboard radiation burn thing and being like, oh, wow, that's – I want that.
But, like, if you – I don't know if you can speak to it now because you've been gone for so long, but if a person had – one of the things that I noticed through your book and through this documentary that I watched is that people, when they come out, there's a lot of pretty regular people and a lot of very high-ranking people.
Right.
They're immediately ridiculed and they're made to be sorry that they ever talked about what they saw. Is the same kind of ridicule in Ireland or in Pakistan, does it feel as lambasted and lampooned in the other countries that you guys grew up in?
Yeah.
I'd say so. I mean, the thing is, I think you'd be more ridiculed for an alien than a ghost in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think if you've a very religious country, any really religious country, you're naturally saying, I believe in something higher, as long as it's not higher than Jesus.
Right.
Like, or Allah, or whatever it is.
Oh, we've got
as long as it's not
Jesus.
Higher than that. I see your Allah, and I raise you a Jesus Christ.
You call them wee little spirits, is that right?
A wee little spirit, No, we really don't. But I think there's the belief in something higher than you, but the alien science side of it, I think you would.
Fair enough, because to some degree, ridiculed. An alien sighting flies in the face of a religious
understanding.
Yes, exactly. It feels more grounded in science. I think, I mean, the idea of God and why we have it, it's for all of our psychology and it's for all of our sanity. It's what we have to explain things that we don't have any words for at the moment. We don't have any science for. And that's why we have it. And whether it's real or not, we don't know.
Actually, but I do know, and it is. Yeah.
Is it Jesus?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus,
not Jesus,
literally.
No.
Is it not Jesus? Who is it? Oh, God.
The opposite thing, because religion provides comfort, whereas aliens provide discomfort.
Extreme discomfort.
Why would we want to believe
that? But I think the idea that we are alone is so solipsistic. It's so the idea that we are at the core of our own universe.
I've always said it was solipsistic.
You are Moshe. Classic Moshe, to be honest. Yeah. But it's so the idea that we are the only planet that has managed to like get enough heat and bacteria together to develop into whatever these little bags of meat we are is absolutely ridiculous. That said, I don't know about the how far in advance. For example, all of the alien spacecrafts we have are a version of aeroplanes, so we can't even imagine something that doesn't look like even when
it moves
people,
as a vapor. Like we don't know.
You know, even like the Hindu gods or Jesus, they all look like men.
You're saying that the sightings of UFOs match aircraft that we've seen in actual conventional.
They match some idea of a helium balloon, of a balloon into the sky, of an octopus.
Is that true, Ryan?
That's the bit that I'm.
That doesn't feel like it tracks with your book. Like, is that true that the sightings of alien spacecraft fit conventional aircraft ideas?
I wouldn't say they directly mirror our aircraft. They always seem to be a little bit ahead, at least from what I've gathered from decade to decade report. I mean, you look at like the early 50s, you had saucers. You look at the 60s and 70s, 80s, you had
just weed leaves, right? Just floating weed leaves.
I just saw a Tesla 3 flying around the other day.
Well, please.
I'm sorry. Oh, God. What's Spring-Heel Jack? Do you know what that is? You don't know what that is.
I think that's a murder thing, isn't it?
No, but there was I read these books, and now I'm getting like little flashes. But in London, there was like a sighting, and then this creature was seen jumping around for. This was like in the 1800s
or something.
Talking
about the Mothman
prophecies. So are there like what those like old paintings where there's like a disc flying and stuff? What's that about?
Yeah.
Great question, Kumail.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, again,
that would get me more that pre the idea of an airplane or people flying.
I hear you.
There's something. What I was trying to say there was the idea that there's aliens. Of course, we're not the only bloody planet. Like, how classic hashtag human is it of us to imagine, like, no, we're the only ones. We're the most advanced you could ever be. What about croc shoes then? That's disgusting. Like, clearly, we're not the most advanced people in the world. But that's
your proof that we're not alone in the universe?
Crocs, guys. Just don't. That we can't even imagine something a little like you were saying about sightings. They're a little bit further on than a spacecraft. Mm-hmm. They're not an unimaginable thing. They're just a little bit.
I think in
the
past,
when you're like what you were saying, Kumail, about those things in the paintings, you're like, that is
nuts. Are there a lot of sightings before like the 1900s?
Oh yeah, I mean there's sightings back to recorded history from what I can gather. I mean I look a lot at the modern UFO era from like Roswell on, but. Yes, I mean, you look at
like Nostradamus's predictions of 9/11 or whatever. You're like, oh, that's weird because they are that he couldn't even have imagined a building that high. Mm. So something that to me is like, whoa, that's a prophetic.
You worked real hard to bring 9/11 into this.
Yeah. always. That's kind of my brand. Yeah,
never forget.
So getting back to the modern understanding of the UFO era, which I think these questions are good, and what you're saying is that there are recorded instances of these sightings, but it doesn't actually hit its fever pitch until, to your point, Aisling, we do get into the modern era. So there is a kind of, sort of confirmation bias question about it all, but as we get into later on into the history.
I want to say it makes sense that as we have more science, that these sightings would stand out more, because back then you see something flying and you're like, fuck, we don't know anything, so that's fine.
Yeah.
But now we're like, we know most things. What the hell is that?
Yeah.
So they wanted to figure out whether it was real. When we got to this, exactly what you're saying, to this era of scientific exploration, and in fact to this era of really being afraid of our skies being compromised, our national security being compromised after World War II, and airspace being a secured thing that needed to be secured, we start seeing government involvement and trying to figure out what these things are. So tell me about Project Blue Book and what was that, and how did it affect the discovery and the exploration of UFOs?
Yeah, so Project Blue Book was the government's first official acknowledgement that there was a UFO phenomenon. By the way, they coined the term UFO, unidentified flying object, to downplay you know, the danger of what these things could possibly be in our skies.
They just don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
We just don't know.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
So they coined this term UFO. They started looking into it. They hired the world's most prominent astronomers to look into this, to debunk it, very much like Scully.
And when was this?
This was in 1957 when Project Blue Book started.
Pakistan had been around for 10 years.
Wait, so what was happening beyond what was happening in Pakistan, which we've all been very curious about? What was happening between 47 when they confiscated all the equipment at Roswell and the beginning of this Blue Book project? What was the government doing and what was happening in this space? No pun intended.
Yeah. So, I mean, if these things were crashing in the skies and they weren't supposedly ours, like, clearly it was a threat, you know. So I think that was the point where they had to say, okay, we have to look into this officially. They hired Dr. J. Allen Hynek, again, the world's most like prominent astronomer at the time, to say it's just swamp gas. It's just a natural phenomenon.
Oh, I hate swamp gas,
swamp
man.
That was
a bad night, you know.
And he couldn't do it. He spent years investigating these cases, going out, you know, boots on the ground, like looking at these things. And eventually he came to the conclusion that whatever these things were, they were not ours. And it was pretty interesting. He started his own organization after that, after Project Blue Book ended in 1969. The government said it was not a national security threat. Everything's cool. We're done investigating this.
What was he investigating, though? Was he investigating, like, parts of spacecrafts that he found or people's
reports?
Yeah. So he was, like, the first responder when people would report these things to the government. So they would, you know, send him out there to interview the witnesses and to look for any trace evidence. You know, had a craft supposedly landed, they'd go out there with Geiger counters looking for radiation in the area.
And did they find radiation in the area?
Oh, yeah. On many occasions.
In fact, like, it was in that documentary, like, Harry Truman, who was president at the time, was talking about this. Isn't like
this is not a classified project.
No, this was completely open to the public.
Right, it wasn't, and at the time the conversation felt a lot more dignified. It felt a lot less ridicule-based and more like where they were actually trying to figure out whatever the phenomenon was that people were seeing, whether or not it was a real phenomenon.
Yeah.
And Harry Truman himself was like talking about it and trying to get to the bottom of it. Yeah. So, in other words, the government hired a scientist to try to disprove the existence of UFOs, and he could not.
He could not, no. To the point where he became a believer.
Do you enjoy true stories of the supernatural from the people who experienced it? Well, then you might like my show, Jim Harold's Campfire. Hi, I'm Jim, and we've been doing the show since 2009. And we talk about ghosts, cryptid creatures, UFOs, head scratchers, you name it. And you tune in and you might hear a story like this one.
And as he was driving home, he encountered a shadow person who seemed to be dressed like a monk. I know that sounds very strange, but it was a solid black form and it was wearing a hooded cloak tied at the waist with the cloak up, and it had glowing red eyes. He sees this thing coming out of a really teeny abandoned cemetery.
If you haven't tuned in, I hope you'll check us out. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are heard. It's Jim Harold's Campfire, and you can find it at jimharold.com. Thanks so much, and stay spooky.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I think that's what's so scary about the whole thing. It's not just aliens, at least when it comes to America. It's the fact that it feels like our government has been working their asses off to keep whatever it is from us. And I think that's the thing that's scary. It's not only like, not only are there beings coming from other places, but like, oh, the government knows everything. It's spending millions of dollars keeping it from you. There's something definitely bad going on here. Right. It kind of speaks to a scarier like, oh, there is something for sure. And the people who are in charge absolutely don't want us to have any part of it.
Do you think it's getting harder and harder? Like, do you remember when Osama bin Laden was caught?
Oh, my God.
No, but
Queen of 9/11 speaks again.
That's right. I just want some answers. No,
put on glasses.
Do you remember there was a guy who tweeted about seeing the helicopters? And so they were trying to do, like, a private mission. But there was a guy who's like, I can see these helicopters outside my house. And all of a sudden, you, for example, had no access to the internet. All you could do is go, Dad! Him at the time. But now, like
you
people,
filmed it.
The people around can go, guys, what the hell is going on? Here's a picture. Everyone else can see this. So at the time, there was this guy just in his house going, it is weird for this time of night for these helicopters to be floating about.
So that would fall into your 95-98% of cases that are bullshit, that are people thinking they're seeing something that isn't really there.
I don't mean it like that. I mean it more that at the time, what would you do to call the government? You'd call a government, get through to a hotline. Weeks later, someone would come with a white coat and go, beep, 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 beep. Whereas now, people have connection to communities and you can take a photo very quickly. You can just take it, you know, like you were saying about technology, we have sort of access to go, that is weird because there's so much stuff. I can take a picture of it or.
But then also, all the stuff is—it's harder to believe because
exactly,
it's so easy
yeah,
to
yeah.
That is the biggest conundrum we have in ufology, as we call it, is we live in an age where anything can be faked. You know, every UFO photo, every video that comes out, you know, I get sent on a weekly basis, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
So, in a weird way, these older sightings and these older cases are a little bit more helpful to figure out if they're real than people saying that they see them now. Right?
I think so. It's sad to think that, you know, we have to look back at 1947 for to see an authentic UFO.
Right. So Project Blue Book was shut down in 1969. Why did they shut it down? Because they decided there was no credible threat, whether that was true or not. They shut it down and they said,
or did they find it enough to realize that they had to start hiding it?
Yeah.
By the way, I do want to say that the government secrecy around it, I understand that. And I support it.
What do you think that is?
I think if they were like, oh, we don't know, this spacecraft coming and going, we have no idea. That would be horrifying.
I want to know.
Yeah, but what do you think would happen in a world where we're living in a reality that's terrifying on a daily basis?
Yes.
Like, what would really happen if the government was like, yeah, there are UFOs?
Also,
it wouldn't even move
aliens.
The needle.
Yes.
You know?
No, but that's
like, we elected Trump. It's all good.
Yeah, but that's now. I'm saying like but, before that.
No, I agree with that. And I think that the era that these craft came out, that's post-World War II era, people were really paranoid about the end of the world, nuclear weapons. Now we just accepted that it's definitely going to happen, and it's not
any
a big deal.
Yeah.
So it explains why they covered it up in the first place. It doesn't explain why they continue to do so today, if it is in fact a cover up. And I think the evidence shows that it is in fact a cover up. Whether they're covering up their own technology or not, we don't know. But what happened when they shut down Project Blue Book? Did they stop researching UFOs?
Apparently, that was their official statement on it. A story came out, you know, maybe a month ago, where we learned that certainly was not the case.
What was that story?
So this happened about a month ago. The New York Times came out with an article about a secret Pentagon program that had been going on for about 5 years, where they were secretly investigating UFOs.
You mean the last 5 years there's been a program at the Pentagon studying
UFOs? This was from about 2008 or so to now, so a little longer than that.
And did they discover anything?
So
this is what you were talking about, Kumail.
Yeah, it's really great stuff.
Yeah, it was, I mean, for like ufologists who were screaming, you know, for vindication that these things are real.
And by the way, to your point, Moshe, this story came out and it did not move the needle.
Well, exactly. Everybody's just like, what did Trump tweet?
Yeah.
There's alien life here right now. But what about Trump, though? Did he fuck Stormy Daniels?
But do you think that's why certain things take off? Because they kind of capture a mood. Like, there are certain times when collectively we're humans are more like bees. Like, we all sort of are afraid of the same things at the same time, whether it's terrorism or UFOs at the time or mad cow disease or whatever it's going to be. We all get afraid of the same thing, and it takes attention away from something else. At the moment in the world, aliens are the least of our fucking problems.
Absolutely.
So we're like, oh, come and bomb us or do something. It'll be better than what's going on now.
But tell us about the Pentagon guy.
Before you do that, Ashley, speaking of terrorism, just real quick, what's your favorite terror attack?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the IRA had some real doozies during the 80s. I wasn't trying to distract from what you were saying. I was just saying, in terms of it going quiet, it's because the fear has been sort of pushed somewhere else. So I'm not surprised there was no big... hitting the news about it, because people are so overwhelmed by everything else that's going on
But also, Arrival came out right after the election, and I sobbed like a baby during that movie.
So what was the Pentagon story? What did we learn from that?
So the head of the program, his name was Luis Elizondo. He'd worked for the Department of Defense for a really long time. He was hired to head this project by, I believe, it was Senator Harry Reid.
Harry Reid.
Harry Reid. He's the one who got the money to do this.
What are you, a hip-hop hype man?
The super
Harry Reid!
I just mean, it's not a crazy guy. It's a guy we know.
Well, that's what I kept coming to with the stuff that you sent me, was like, yes, there are crazies out there that are like, you know, saying that they are getting alien anal probes. But a lot of the people that are cited in your book and in this documentary are like, you know, Air Force general majors, Air Force pilots.
Jimmy Carter,
Gerald Ford, Harry Truman. So what?
Morris Day
and the Time.
And the Time.
Time Life books, pages missing, etc. I'm getting too old for this shit.
So Harry Reid had hired this guy.
Yeah, he hired this guy, and he got the funding to do this project because Harry Reid was very interested in the topic. And it was something like $22 million, which, you know, to me seems like a lot. But in terms of like government funding, it's nothing. And I think that was the purpose, was it was so lowly funded that it was, you know, under the radar. So, you know, they could do this secretly and keep investigating UFOs.
So, and wasn't he involved with another guy who was like an entrepreneur? What's that?
So Harry Reid was directly involved with Robert Bigelow. This guy is an entrepreneur. He started the Budget Hotel Suites. So this dude's a billionaire, and he's had a strong interest in UFOs for many, many years. He is convinced that we've been visited by something otherworldly, non-human, and he had been helping to fund this project as well. So any information that was going into this Pentagon story was then getting funneled to Robert Bigelow.
Wait, so this is a private citizen that's funding a Pentagon inspection unit?
Yes. And was he legally getting the information, or was the guy just passing it to him?
I see. That's where I it gets very
interesting. That's
supposedly
terrifying.
Bigelow has wreckage from UFO craft in his possession.
Well, in one of those budget suites.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he has a brother named Deuce, who's actually a male gigolo. I don't know if people know about that, but just looking for a joke, Kumail. All right, I see your disappointment,
you
and I accept
one?
It.
Did you find
You're right.
Did you find a joke?
Yeah, when are you going to find it?
Let me know when you find a joke.
You know what? The joke is out there. Okay, so in the 60s, so we can move into the 60s and 70s, right? And now things start to get a little bit wonky and weirder, because with psychedelic drugs and with the kind of hippie movement, the UFO, to your point, Ashley, the UFO movement sways into the cultural forces that are present at the time. What's going on in the 60s and 70s in terms of UFO sightings?
Yeah, so I mean, you're looking at the decades when like we're very anti-war, we're all about peace, and you start to see this movement within ufology that almost these religions start to pop up around it. And a lot of people believe ufology is a religion. It's a belief system, whereas I look at it more as, you know, fact-based, evidence-based.
Wait, people believe, what do they believe, what are the tenets of this religion? That there were beings that came and set up our civilization and that's why they're coming back? Is it? Because that was one of the questions I kept asking myself. Is like, I can understand an alien visiting. I can't understand aliens visiting sustained over and over again for 60 years. And what are they doing? How fucking interesting. I mean, what are they doing? Are they just jerking their little 12-year-old dicks to our, you know, like Porky's looking through a thing? Like, why are they here so much?
Lottery, probably.
Yeah.
What's that?
They're just playing the lottery every time they come back. They're like, we're going to get it at some point, and then we can go.
Maybe it's like a cruise ship for them. Like, they pay money, and they're like, oh, go check out Earth. Look at these idiots.
And do you think it's an element of it? Again, I believe that there are probably aliens. It's just at certain times, the psychological zeitgeist or what it taps into it is sort of prevalent around the world. For example, fear or the idea that we're alone or that we want to go somewhere else. So I believe a lot of like religions come from, God, imagine if this is all we is, if this is all we are. Imagine if this is it. That would be too terrifying to get our heads round. So let's just really believe there's something else.
But that's sort of,
with an argument against actual UFOs.
Not to say some of the sightings, but like you're saying, in terms of tapping into the psychology of why we have this need to believe.
What need UFOs kind of take, what need they fulfill for us?
Yes, exactly.
So, and that's why I'm curious, in ufology, what is the current thing of what aliens are doing for us? Like that we is what's in the culture.
In other words, why are they coming here, or what are they doing?
I'm more interested in how we interpret them coming.
So we know that already.
No, but like literally right now. So if it's gone from like, oh, they might be a threat. Oh, they're peaceful, loving beings. We should build a religion around them. What is it now?
Have they come to take us away from this bad?
Look, yeah, is it a rescue mission at this point?
Well, if in the 60s, was it that there were religions around UFOs?
Yeah, I mean, there were religions popping up. There were cults popping up.
But what was the basis of those religions? Like, are we going to be saved? Or are we, what is the idea behind it?
I think it was this whole idea of they are going to impart knowledge on us. They're going to come here to save us. So we were searching for, like, an other to save us because we weren't, you know, saving ourselves.
And that's exactly how we've interpreted phenomena we don't understand. It used to be like, oh, it's raining because this goat, we should kill this goat. You know you know what I mean? And so seeing UFOs, we're just putting on, I don't know why you guys laughed at that. that's real shit. But we're seeing something we don't understand and we're coming up with different reasons to explain it.
I just had a thought, if all of the butt probing of the 80s was a result of like STDs and like suddenly like that
becoming And homophobia
and that being a thing in the culture, that's what we're responding to.
Yes, Jessica Fletcher. Yes.
Thank you.
So, exactly. And what happened in the 80s and 90s is that they moved from being our like loving brothers into being people that are coming to like stick shit in our, butt fuck us and give us space AIDS. So... what have you encountered people that were abducted that claimed to be abducted by aliens, and what, like, do you buy that kind of stuff?
It's really tough, and I was extremely skeptical when I got to the alien abduction part of the book and you know, essentially interviewing people who claim this. Like, I had to meet them face to face in order to hear
or ass to ass, as the case may be.
It's funny how that old probe thing, like, that was like one case.
Yeah, but really one case?
No, it's definitely been more than one.
A few.
Yeah, but listen. It's the Steele dossier. We don't talk about all the other shit. We talk about the fucking piss on with the Russian hooker. I mean, salacious.
Like, if you're probing as a scientist, there's only so many holes in a human. One of them's going to be, like, it's like two nose, two ears, one mouth, or a butt. Like,
very important hole.
I forgot about my main one.
You know, when it comes down to sex, it's an ass, two nose, nostrils, an ear, and I guess you're done. I don't know what else is there.
When I lose my virginity, I'm going to know all about the last one.
You really are Irish.
But no, it's not that mad to think that you go up one of them, wouldn't it? Like, it's your nose, your ears.
Did you ever conduct an interview with a person that had been abducted that made you feel like this is something happened here?
Yeah, so there were a few. I mean, I met with a woman face-to-face with her husband, and she's recalling this event that had happened to her, that she'd been taken aboard this craft, that they'd experimented on her. And she's, like, gripping her husband's hand and just crying. And he's, like, there, like, trying to calm her down. Now, whether or not that's the whole thing that I've come to with the alien abduction phenomenon is whether or not that physically happened, if it really happened, if aliens actually took this woman, I can't tell you.
But you think she believes they did, and that's all you can get at.
Most of these people, they firmly believe that these events happened to them. No, I can't say they did or they did not. I'll take down the story. I'll be a listening
ear. But
do
you believe? Like, you can always, of course you can't, but when you go into those rooms, is there an element of belief, or is it just sort of like pity and sorrow for whatever this person feels viscerally like they're going through?
I wouldn't say pity. I'm definitely open and compassionate. Mm. I think that's essential when you're interviewing someone with such a sensitive issue. Just to hear them out is almost like confirmation enough for them that someone's willing to listen.
But
that
for
idea,
you,
like, they do
without
studies,
enabling them.
They do studies of people, like, if you write down while someone's telling you about a trauma, if you are writing something down versus not, the people who are being listened to by someone writing something down feel better than the other people because they feel like it's going somewhere official.
Absolutely.
And now it means something.
Yeah. I read a thing that said that a theory is that a lot of these abduction memories are actually dissociated memories of abuse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. Yeah, I run into that.
Somebody just snapped like we were at a poetry slam over here, I swear. You're like, dissociated memories of abuse right there, boy. Yeah.
They have a bingo card.
Talk about it.
Check that.
Oh, yeah.
Did they have their hound tall bingo card? But that it's someone, a visitor in the night, mm-hmm. taking, you know, all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are theories of, you know, abuse or trauma as a child or sleep paralysis, you know, things like this. These are a lot of the times the explanations for abduction cases. But there's a gentleman that I used to speak to. He passed away a few years ago named Buddy Hopkins.
He was fucked to death by an alien, wasn't he? I knew it. I knew it.
This is
I've been,
real.
I've been
this
proven
a real person.
Oh, this is your friend?
Yeah.
A colleague.
A colleague? All right. He was fucked to death by an alien.
Acquainted.
He had a family.
Come on. I know. It's a fucking tragedy the way he went out.
You're going to have to bleep his name. Go ahead.
He interviewed hundreds and hundreds of people who claimed to have been abducted by aliens. I'd say about 98% of them, he found absolutely no evidence of any sort of trauma. Abuse.
But what about the 2%? And this is what I would say to you as well.
But he's saying 98% had no abuse of trauma, so only 2% were the ones who were easily debunked.
Exactly.
So what did you feel? Because, again, you're saying you have a lot of sensitivity and everything, and you clearly are a caring person. Were there any of them that you were like, fuck, man, I think this might have happened to you, when you were talking to these people?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been interviewing this guy for years now. His name is Travis Walton. They made a movie about him, early 90s, I want to say, called Fire in the Sky.
Oh, that eye scene is awful. Oh, that eye scene.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it called?
It's called Fire in the Sky.
Okay. What happens in the...
Isn't that the movie that first scared you about from aliens?
No, E.T. was the first fucking movie that scared me about aliens. Oh. That guy looks like a penis. Sorry. Not scared of this.
You're not scared of him anymore.
Somebody's upset. You just got the opposite of a poetry slam snap on that. You fucking say E.T. looks like a dick, motherfucker? Uh-uh. Take it back.
E.T. looks like...
He rode a bike and it was cute.
Are you terrified of E.T.?
No, I'm terrified for you. That's the penises that you are seeing.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm right here.
Wow. Yikes. Yikes.
My penis.
Take it out, put a blanket on it, see if we all love it.
You know, in 1947, Pakistan began, and the alien dick phenomenon has never been the same. Now... Okay, so we're going... I want you to answer that question first. Is this person... What were you saying? You interviewed this one person.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was back in, like, 75 it happened, but, like, six... He was part of a logging crew that went out to do a project, a tree thinning project. They see this craft. He gets out, this guy Travis. He looks up at it. It shoots a beam down, hits him. And the other dudes, they just bolt. They get out of there. Yeah. They think he's dead at that point. Many hours later, they come back. And
many hours later. Should we go check on Claude? Or?
Yeah.
God, male friendships are awful.
Yeah.
Male, if that was a girl, I'd be like, get the fuck down you piece of shit. Go on, Mary, you get up there. I'll stand on my shoulders. We'll get him back.
Yeah,
but men are like, run. We'll come back in a few hours and see if he's okay.
Yeah, I've noticed how supportive women are of each other all the time.
So they all saw Taylor being abducted.
Travis.
Yes, it's Travis.
No. I called him Claude, and I feel like it should stick.
Yeah. Okay, we will let it go.
I'm sure one of them.
They saw him be hit by a beam.
Yeah.
They saw that.
They saw it. They all saw it. He gets hit. They leave. They report it to the police, what happened. They go out with the police to try to find the guy. They can't find him anywhere. So for weeks on end, everyone thinks that this guy's been murdered and that this is this like story of a UFO was a cover-up for it.
By the loggers. They think the loggers.
By the loggers.
Wow.
That they, you know, maybe something happened out there. They made up this elaborate story. A few weeks later, he shows up. He's found on the side of a road, and they are able to, you know, get him talking again and everything. He recounts the same exact event that happened with the beam coming down, and then he recounts this crazy story about being taken aboard a craft and being experimented on. He picked something up, tried to hit one of the aliens at one point.
Whoa.
And
that's a logger for you right there, huh? You got a comedian up there, it's just fucking submission, you know? I'm turning over, I'm like, it's back here.
This is the only one I have.
You got my
at
nose.
At least there's a story.
Yeah, two nostrils, right. 2 years.
A one-man
I got,
show.
Just got 10 new minutes.
I got a yeah. one-man show coming soon.
This is not the difference between men and women again.
I like that you get kidnapped by an alien and you get 10 new minutes out of it. That is at least a one-man
right.
show.
It was like, no, go back to the other stuff. That's all I got yeah. on that, actually.
Motion talks fast.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm married now, so it's, you know, that's a trip. Anyway.
So this gentleman remembers it, and is he still around?
Oh, yeah, he's still around. And what's weird is, like, he hasn't – it looks like he hasn't aged a day since this happened.
Whoa.
Take me up there.
It's kind of creepy. Yeah.
Hollywood.
He and the other loggers were put under countless, like, polygraph tests, and they all passed with flying colors.
Wow.
It's fucking crazy. Like,
did you talk to the other loggers?
Yes. I've spoken to several of them on several occasions.
They all have the same –
they all have the same
are
story.
Are they all friends still?
No.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Right.
How far away were like, you? You'd be like, Taylor, you run away.
Taylor still looks all young and fuckable. We're all old-ass loggers over here with our leather skin.
Travis, but yes.
Oh, Travis. I went from Claude to Taylor. I'm getting closer.
You're getting close. How far away was he found from where he was taken, presumably?
I think it was something like 20 miles or something
wow.
like that.
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, so
that's when you believe, like you feel like,
I mean, that's a case where I'm like, they had everything to lose and nothing to gain with this
yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah,
story they made no money on this. You know, they
unless
made a movie about
they
it,
were
but they
all
made,
like, unless they were out with women. Each other as an orgy or something. Wow. And they were guys, if we all say we saw Bam alive. And
they all fucked each other and then he hid for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Homophobia is deep,
yeah,
man. It's like, I'll be in this log cabin for 2 weeks. It's also an anal probe situation.
Well, that's the thing. I know people personally who are normal, sane, normal people. People who have seen UFOs. And I know a group of three friends who'd seen it. And one was telling people and the other two were like, don't tell people. It makes us look weird. So he doesn't talk about it. I know multiple people who've seen it. There are cases where like a whole town in Texas saw something, you know?
That's right.
They don't gain anything.
Or in a town in Texas, in Phoenix, Arizona. There was one case in Phoenix, Arizona that so many people saw it, the governor of Arizona saw it. And he came out and said, I saw these aliens.
Yeah.
Wow. What did they see?
They saw a... You tell us.
Yeah, this was the Phoenix Lights incident of 1997.
It's a great
title. A huge boomerang craft was seen over the city of Phoenix. Thousands of people saw this, reported it. They sent out fighter jets to try to find this thing. They couldn't find
it.
This was 97.
But I graduated high school, so...
Because
if you remember, that was Crocodile Dundee was really huge then, so that's why people were seeing giant boomerangs.
That's not an alien spacecraft.
This is an alien spacecraft.
So
but that wasn't that long ago for a whole town to see something. It's quite like...
Well, there's another... one of the stories to me, was the most substantive and really was sort of breathtaking was the story of the airbase in England, where the U.S. Air Force base in England. Tell us about that, what they saw, and what happened.
Yeah, so I've been in direct contact with the key witness to this event. This happened in 1980. It was called Rendlesham Forest. This was a forest between
two joint military bases owned by the United States in England. This is during the Cold War, you know, so tensions were high. We were over there just in case anything happened. So one night, this craft is caught on radar. Everyone's seen it coming in, land in the forest, and about 60 officers were sent out to investigate whatever the hell this thing was.
Because they thought it was maybe a sort of foreign actor that was coming in to do some nefarious something.
Absolutely. Right? And what's interesting is at the time we were secretly housing nuclear ordnance under these bases without England's knowledge.
Whoa.
We were able to sneak them in. So, of course, it's highly sensitive at this point if something had incurred, you know. And
so they scrambled like 20 military police or whatever to go.
60.
60, okay. Yeah. And they all ran towards it.
They all had to go. That was – they didn't know what they were walking into. They were just told to go out there and see what, you know, what they can do. The base commander, this is caught on audio as well. You can hear this if you
talk. I heard the audio. It's insane.
It's pretty scary, yeah. And the base commander is recounting what's going on as this is happening. And he said that this craft was directly over the nuclear ordnance and disabled it.
It got shut down. And the other thing is that these 20 military police went to the woods and they all saw something that they universally reported as beyond any kind of possibility of being crafted on at least technology that any of these people in the fucking Air Force knew about, right?
Yeah.
So this is all the way from high-ranking military officials down to military police all were reporting the same thing. Yeah. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, they called in somebody else once again to debunk the thing. They called in a higher-ranking military official who came in and saw the exact same thing.
Yeah, right? There was activity for 3 nights. On the base. You know, once this thing landed and supposedly shot off, strange lights were seen over the base for 2 more nights, and they could not explain what was going on. And they told all the officers never to speak about it. This story only came out about 20 years ago or so. It's interesting.
And this was not like a traumatized yokel, you know, just going like, I saw something in the sky. These are high-ranking military officials. And also, after that, the governments of England and France have come out, and Belgium have all come out with full disclosure on their UFO programs, their UFO observation programs, and they all report that there are at least some substantial cases of UFOs that they cannot explain and that were sightings that can't be explained.
So other countries have come out and admit that they've like found stuff.
Almost every country you can think of who has ever investigated UFOs, you know, whether publicly or secretly, have come forward and said, look, we looked into it. We don't know what's going on, but here's our files.
We're such assholes. Why are we? Yeah. We're such assholes. Yeah. Like, why are we the ones who are like, no, we'll keep this.
Because we're the ones talking to them. Do you think we're actually talking to them?
I mean, you look at Contact, the movie Contact. You know, that's where SETI comes in.
I love that film. It's so good.
It's really good.
Oh. I don't know if there's a funny story, but it's an odd story. I saw Contact, and I was so taken with it. I was like, when did it come out? Like
94?
No, it was later. It was like
97 or so.
97.
I was just like in awe of the film. It like really got my brain going, and I'm like, I gotta get in my car and drive into the hills to look at the moon. So I did. I got into this like 93 Saturn and I drove up into the Oakland Hills and I didn't bring any shoes because I was like, it's like 2 a.m. I'm just going to go ponder the cosmos, right? And I'm up there. I'm sitting on the hood. I'm just having like a moment with God and the moon or whatever. And I have no shoes on. I'm way up in the Oakland Hills and I pull. I'm like, okay, well, I've looked at the moon for a while. And I pull out. I start the car and I pull back and the car pulls up over a boulder. And I'm stuck. I like can't move the car.
And
I
don't shoeless.
No cell phone. This is pre-cell phone times. No shoes. And I had to walk 3 miles down a winding Oakland Hill Road barefoot to this hotel where I walk in at like 4 a.m. barefoot. Like, do you guys have a payphone?
You guys seen the movie Contact?
They're like, yeah, people come here all the time.
I've been pondering.
We got another shoeless Contact fan.
It's been happening for 10 years. The movie's only been out for 2. Ryan, tell
us. Did you see the video that came out a month ago? That was another one of those videos that came out with the Pentagon guy that they released one of the videos with it.
Yeah, so I mean, the big part of that Pentagon story was video footage that came officially from the Department of Defense. And these were two videos that were from the gun camera footage from the fighter pilots who were sent to investigate these UFOs. And you're listening to them, and these pilots are, like, completely out of character. They're like, what the fuck is that?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's not how you talk when you're a pilot.
Right. Well, I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's freaking
It was pretty
great.
Freaky. And the footage itself is extremely startling.
Really?
These objects are moving, you know, zipping around at breakneck speeds that no human could survive. It's just – and that's what's really interesting. And these videos were leaked by the head of the program.
Yeah, he
left the program.
He left the program so he could talk about this, right?
And
he quit so he could be like, something's happening.
It's like every other country in the fucking world, it seems like, except for
ours. Isn't Blink-182 involved in this somehow, too?
Yeah, that guy's like, he pays money.
DeLong?
Right?
Yeah. So
maybe all the small things was about that.
All the small little men.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of the information about UFOs that's come out comes from very wealthy people. If you have money, you're able to get the information. Mm. So Tom DeLonge, all through his time in Blink-182, had been investigating UFOs, researching the topic.
So whenever they
Perfect
were touring,
cover.
You
Perfect
see,
cover.
Oh, they go to Roswell all the time.
It's a great cover.
Can you imagine marrying someone from a band and going, oh, it's great, he's got so much money, and they'd be like, do you never believe what he spends it on? Oh, God, I have to do all the child support. He spends it on alien investigations. What a waste.
My girlfriend goes through that almost every day.
Oh, babe.
She's here tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, you're in Blink-182?
with that haircut, you're close. Tell me some more of tell me one more of the stories, of the anecdotal stories from your book or from the people that you've talked to that really, like, what are some of the most spine-tingling stories that you've heard? Like, one or just...
Yeah. So
it's hard to refute. The ones that are hard to refute. You're like, I mean, so many people.
Right. So the ones I find most interesting is when there's more than one witness. Mm. I mean, you have corroborating evidence at that point. You know what I mean? And there was one where... a mother and her two daughters, they witnessed a triangular craft. This is in Michigan. And so it's floating above their house. And one of the daughters is outside with the mother. The mother is like staring up at this thing. She thinks it's amazing. She's in awe. She feels euphoric. And the daughter's right next to her, like covering her ears and saying how unbearably loud it is and how it's like going to kill them. And the mother couldn't hear anything.
Oh, God.
So that really
shocked me.
Whoa! Yeah. What do you take from that?
That one really mystified me. I mean, they're clearly looking, I think, at the same object, but having completely different perceptions.
Because you know, your ears up until the age of 18 can pick up sounds that an adult can't.
That's
so
right.
So they do it in a lot of shopping centers.
Oh, so maybe she was. That's right.
They tried to drive kids away at malls.
At malls sometimes they play these sounds to stop kids loitering. Because
is that true?
Up
true.
Until the age of 18, there's a frequency.
It's called easy listening.
Oh, that's so funny.
Adults can't.
That's the end of the show.
Very good.
I mean,
well, that's a good point for us to. Are there any questions from the audience? Let's take a couple questions before.
Are there any
before.
People who don't believe? Wow, well, I want to.
Yeah, here we have a question here.
Are any of you more convinced of UFOs now?
I was already pretty convinced,
yeah,
but I would say
pretty convinced.
I'm more convinced than I was, and also we'll have to take a lot of medication to sleep tonight. Yeah.
I've always believed in aliens because I think it's ridiculous not to. The UFOs thing, I think I have a question over our mass hysteria and psychologically what we actually do as groups. Even things like looking up before airplanes. Or even the start of airplanes, did we ever look up as much as we do, and how much do we... That's
I think that's fair enough. What refutes it to me is like
question.
Is 12 military police on an Air Force base and a major seeing a spacecraft right in front of them. Doesn't feel like to me... Maybe there's mass hysteria in the military, but it just feels like... Aren't they the opposite of mass hysteria?
For me, it's more like why in a military area? You're like, oh, maybe there is some kind of... From another country or something going to a military area. Why in that particular...
Those
are the questions.
Cases of them like going... Gravitating towards nuclear weapons and stuff, right? That happens a bunch of times, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The Rendlesham one we mentioned, there was one in Montana where it went over the base and shut them down again. There's one in Germany where it turned them on. into.
Oh yeah,
like,
that yours
mode.
Turned you on a little bit too, right? I remember that.
Because it makes but sense that they would go where our technology is
but
best, right? If they want to learn about
for
us.
For us, like I was saying, we always put it something to our perspective. So whether it's language or it's military or it's war, we put it within our perspective. So like, oh, they would go to a military base, and for me, that's a really human connection.
Sure, no, but if they're going to a place
if they're
where,
attracted to radiation,
yeah. Exactly.
Well, no, but like, if they're looking for like good our most advanced technology, it would make sense that they would go.
But that's again, it has to be to do with technology. Alien life, we always have to go. Oh, it has to be with technology. It wouldn't be an organic matter. Or we can't even.
No, but they do everything. They're, you know, anal probing, but also they're going to.
That's organic. There's a lot of
really good spa.
There's a lot of organic matter inside of an asshole. So we have a question up here.
Grab it, boy. Yeah. Hey, so you've looked at so many of these cases. You guys are talking about, you know, oh, they're stopping over military bases and stuff about technology. You've looked at so many of these over time. I mean, are there any particular, like, odd details or recurring details that are just like, what could that possibly be? Like, why would this happen so much? Mm-hmm. Like, sort of strange things.
Yeah, I think for me, at least, it's the way it impacts people, actually. It's not even like the data or the evidence of the thing happening. It's how it actually affected people afterwards and sort of opened them up to the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're wearing a ufologist badge right now. It really did a number on you.
Clearly. Yeah.
Is there anything that doesn't connect with what we see as aliens? So again, like the spacecraft, the gray men, whatever it is there anything that like people have seen that have felt something that just doesn't connect with the sort of the cartoon of what we think are UFOs, the triangles, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's the narrative of, you know, the flying saucer, the little gray aliens that we see over and over and over again. But there's so crazy, bizarre cases out there of, like, you know, 7-foot-tall Nordic aliens, you know, Nordic-looking aliens. There's the lizard people.
That's hot.
Yeah. There's politicians that are lizards.
Like, what do you want, an octopus or a 7-foot-tall Nordic man?
It's hard to not feel threatened by that because there are few people who are less 7-foot-tall Nordic than me.
It's just the flavor she's been having for a while, yeah, so it's like, you know, it's an exciting other, you know what I mean?
Right, no, because I love chocolate, but every now and then it's like, let's try a 7-foot-tall Nordic. Is there anybody who came tonight who didn't believe who now thinks that it's possible that it's...
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you. Why?
Oh, just all of the military examples you were bringing up. It sounds pretty legit, and I want to do some research now.
Yeah, because our military would never lie. And then again, I leave.
That's actually a really good point, man. The fact that I don't personally believe the government is ever going to tell us the truth about what they know. Because honestly, I don't think they know a lot about what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, they don't control what's happening in our skies, but they can control the information that they give to the public.
You want to project confidence.
Absolutely. Yes. And I don't think disclosure, as they call it, is ever going to come from the government. So, like, if you see something, it's like, you know, the subways. If you see something, say something. You know, there's 100,000 UFO reports a year on average.
Would you recommend people report UFO sightings? It seems like every person that does is ridiculed and, like, it becomes a mistake in their lives.
I see that changing.
You don't
have to
call it like I see an alien. Like the nice thing about unidentified flying object is you're literally like, what the hell is this?
Well, Dennis Kucinich in that presidential debate, they asked him if he seen a UFO, and he was like, well, yeah, but it was, and his presidential campaign was over.
Yeah.
Right? They were just like, we're done here, so bye, Dennis. So, but you'd still say do it. Why do you think it's important to report these things?
I think it's extremely important because it gives us something to work off of instead of, you know, these cases from 1947 and stuff like that. I think the more people, the more credible people, military or academics or scientists that come forward or everyday people, you know, just see something when they look up, if they report it, that's more things that we can look into and bring it to the government and be like, tell us what you know.
Are the reports going up given that we all have video cameras in our pockets at all times?
That is a really good question. To my knowledge, the amount of UFOs reported hasn't changed.
Interesting.
Oh, wow.
But,
yeah. Because that to me makes it less the fact that we can capture the images now.
And we're not.
And we're not.
No, but
where
it's...
Where is that? That's the kind of the point I was making earlier.
I think there's more videos, but not more not more sightings. Is that what you were saying?
I think so. And it's tough because that is the biggest conundrum, I think, in today's, you know, technological world, is that we have the technology to just look up and take a picture, and we don't, you know.
But for me, and this might seem like a jump, but if you look at what's happening with race in America, so much stuff is getting captured on video.
9/11.
Yes. Yeah. No, 9/11. But like, race people vis-a-vis are
9/11 and the foundation of the Pakistani state.
How does that connect?
Well, Pakistan is a country classically depopulated of 7 foot tall fuckable aliens, and I just think it's time for us to talk about
it. Let me finish my point, is that what most people are saying, the incidents aren't new. What's new is that we can finally capture them and go, this is happening, can someone finally be held accountable?
But they're also less credible because you can
manipulate an image.
Yes, that is true, but at least like things are being captured, so we're seeing more stuff. So it's something where for years you're like, it was only witness reports, because how else would you do it other than a witness report? Now there's all the technology to capture stuff, and yet people aren't capturing anything. Yeah. Why is that?
But there is audio and there are pictures and there is video, or there is not.
Oh, but yeah, from now.
It's out there. But like you said, it's disseminating the truth from the fiction at this point. Like, there's apps that you can insert UFOs into your pictures.
Right.
Like, where do we go from there?
Right. It's, I guess,
Snapchat. Yeah.
Is there anybody with a burning question? One final burn. Yes, all the way in the back here.
So is Scientology real then?
Let's do
good
one
night,
more
everybody.
Question. Yeah, we got another question to go. We're right across the street from those motherfuckers. You could talk aliens and the government all night long, but don't you ever impugn Scientology. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. Thank you so much. Give a round of applause for Ryan Sprague, Kumail Nanjiani, Emily Gordon, Aisling Bea. Thank you very much. And come back and see us again on the How and Tell Discussion series here at the UCB Theater the second Wednesday of every month. Good night. I love you. Goodbye.
Somewhere in the Skies is produced by Third Kind Productions in association with the Entertainment One Podcast Network. To learn more, visit entertainmentonepodcast.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.